This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB Online.org. MPB Think Radio.
From MPB Think Radio, this is Money Talks. I'm Kevin Farrell, here with Chris Burford, Consumer Education Specialist for Credibility, the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Jackson. Our guest this morning is attorney Frank Cotswell of Cotswell & Associates. Nancy Lotter-Janderson is out this week, but will be back with us next week. Frank joins us this morning to discuss the complexities of bankruptcy. When is bankruptcy the best financial decision for you? How will it affect your credit? We'll learn about the different chapters and terms, but first, we'll talk to Chris about alternative solutions. Do you really have to file for bankruptcy? Be sure to give us a call this morning with your comments and personal finance questions. The number is 1-877-MPB-RING. Our phone number is 1-877-672-7464. Or send an email to money@mpbonline.org. You're listening to Money Talks from MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.
And welcome back. This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Kevin Farrell here with Chris Burford, Consumer Education Specialist for Credibility, the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Jackson. And our guest is attorney Frank Cotswell of Cotswell & Associates. Nancy Lotter-Janderson, she's out this week, but will be back with us next week. So this morning, Frank's here to discuss the complexities of bankruptcy. When is bankruptcy the best financial decision for you, and how will it affect your credit? We'll talk about the different chapters and terms, but in the first part of the show, we'll talk about alternative solutions. Do you really need to file for bankruptcy? You can give us a call this morning with your comments and personal finance questions. Our phone number is 1-877-MPB-RING. It's 1-877-672-7464, or send an email to money@mpbonline.org. So we're just four likes away from the 270 mark for our Money Talks Facebook page. If you enjoy listening to the show on the radio and are on Facebook, we would certainly appreciate a like. You can go to our page to find links and to topics that we discuss on the air. Also, feel free, if you're on Facebook and are a fan of Money Talks, to give us some suggestions on what you might like to hear us talk about on the program. So, good morning to you both. Frank, glad to have you back with us. If you could remind us about your experience and background in bankruptcy.
I've represented Mississippi consumers in Jackson in bankruptcy and consumer law issues for 34 years.
All right. Very good. And like I said, Frank's been on the show to talk about this before. Always a lot of good information. So if you have any kind of questions at all about bankruptcy, today would be a good day to give us a call. The phone number is 1-877-MPB-RING. Call us at 877-672-7464. In fact, we've got an early caller, a familiar voice, George from Grand Bay, Alabama. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Kevin and our economic gurus. I would like to ask them a question. Why is it, I think this is an unsecured loan, why is it students cannot declare bankruptcy?
All right, Frank?
Well, they can file bankruptcy. The student loans just cannot be discharged in bankruptcy without some additional circumstances. There's a hardship test that they would have to meet, but normally student loans could not be discharged in bankruptcy. And this was the result of some laws passed over the years to keep people from taking out student loans and then just wiping them all out without making any attempt to pay them back whatsoever.
All right, George, thanks for getting our show off to a good start here. This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. And as I said, we're going to be discussing bankruptcy throughout the hour, but thought we'd start our conversation with some ideas about maybe two alternatives to bankruptcy. So, Chris, we'll start with you. What do you think about pre-bankruptcy counseling? Is that something that people should consider before deciding about whether they should file for bankruptcy?
Well, I mean, there are two pieces to that. If you look at it and say, look, I need to sit down and talk to a counselor and kind of share my financial situation and maybe talk a little bit about my options. And, you know, in my world, we're going to look at a budget and look at debt and talk about, you know, what's happened in the past. Can we set some goals? Is it realistic to work out of this? What's it going to take? You know, some people say, well, I'll sell a car to pay off a debt or to sell a house, or either flip side of it is, well, we'll take on two jobs. And You got to sit down and say what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And from just trying to say, I just want to see where I stand. Now, I know in our world and in Frank's world that, you know, somebody is going to file bankruptcy. There are requirements they go to what they, you know, say pre-bankruptcy counseling, and they have to get a certificate and bring it to the bankruptcy attorney. So again, you know, one kind of goes with the other, but, yeah, somebody needs to really sit down and get a second opinion, clear their mind, and just kind of see what it is. You know, somebody said, well, $2,000 on a credit card and, you know, maybe their budget's a little bit tight. It might be, okay, let's see where we can tweak some things and try to hold ground. But on the flip side of it, Frank, if somebody's got massive amounts of debt, and then, you know, it could be $80,000, $90,000 worth of medical bills, $40,000 worth of credit card bills, and they're saying, hey, I need help.
Yeah, they're not going to pull out of that with counseling or a new budget or anything. That's just overwhelming debt. And the majority of the people I see have lost a job or it's overwhelming medical. You got $20,000 worth of debt after the insurance pays, and you've been off work because of the illness. You're not going to catch up, and you can't rearrange your budget to meet those overwhelming debts.
So, but I would say that bankruptcy is a viable option, but if possible, it's always behooves someone to maybe do look at some of the alternatives. And as Chris mentioned, is it required that there's some sort of certification that they have gone through some sort of counseling before they come to you?
Yes. Well, when they come to me, I'll usually set them up with a course to do the counseling, but there's a one-hour counseling course they have to go through, and I have to have a certificate before I can file the bankruptcy.
And what would cover that course? Just their financial situation, or what sort of information is in that?
Chris could probably tell. Yeah, I've never been through it.
honestly, it's really a standard standard budget credit session. Just kind of to say that they kind of do some due diligence before they go forward. A lot of times, and I think, you know, Frank agreement, we, you know, not everybody needs to file bankruptcy. You know, there's
right.
some that, well, I'm stressed, let me just file bankruptcy. Well, you know, this kind of a process to for the client to really get a good opinion on the front end. Maybe they can say, hey, I can work out of this or make some adjustments. But again, if they say, look, I can't work out of this, okay, you'll get a certificate and move forward to see a bankruptcy attorney.
And I talk a lot of people out of filing bankruptcy. I mean, it sounds counterintuitive to my business, but I'm there to do what's best for the client. And we discuss alternatives, and sometimes that's just not the best idea for people to file.
Yeah, I would think that when someone gets into difficulties, maybe that's their first thought. But as we're exploring here, there are some other things and other ways to explore first, and knowing that that is the an alternative should that come to that.
Yeah, you know, Kevin, to add to that, what Frank said, you know, again, like I said, he said some people sit down and talk to us, you don't need to file. You maybe need to go sit down and talk to somebody. And from bankruptcy attorney to an attorney to financial advisors to somebody at the church, you know, we get a lot of referrals in, and kind of sometimes the first thought in that consumer's mind is, you know, I just need to file bankruptcy. I'm stressed out. Well, let's sit down and look at your situation. Let's put it all on paper. Let's take a good snapshot of where you stand right now. And it might be they go, wow, you know what? I don't need to do this. I just need a little plan. I need to set some goals. Yes, I've got to make some changes, but I can work out of this.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. We're visiting this morning with attorney Frank Coxwell about bankruptcy, but it is Money Talks on a Tuesday morning, so if you have a question that's a bit off topic but still refers to your personal finances, please feel free to give us a call on any Tuesday morning. The number to call to join us here on Money Talks is 1-877-MPB-RING. Our phone number is 877-672-7464. Send an email to money@mpbonline.org. You know, Chris, when we've talked about working with creditors, if you get into a debt situation, we've talked about that sometimes they're willing to kind of work with you. Is there ever a point where at a certain level of debt that maybe they decide it's not in their best interest and sort of they're not as willing to work with you?
And it can be, you know, if you're talking about a consumer saying, I'm just giving examples. They could have a car note of $600 secured debt. And they're trying to work back through the creditor. They're behind and say, well, I can make the payment if you can lower it down to $200. And that creditor might say, look, we can't do that. You know, we've got to keep it at $600. And, you know, you still got 3 years left on it. I understand you're 4 months behind. Maybe they can help with an extension or some options in there. But on the other hand, a creditor might say, look, we've exhausted everything. You know, and I hate to say it like this, but either, you know, you got to catch its payments up somehow, or either honestly, you just need to turn the vehicle in. And that's just one example of maybe a creditor's, you know, I can't work with you.
But that's a really good example. It's a business decision for the creditor. They're just going to cut their losses and move on. They're not going to keep wasting time on, you know, dragging it out or giving you forbearances and stuff. They just want to move on.
Well, yeah, because I think I understand the idea of maybe working with you in the first place is they're trying to recoup as much of the money that they're owed as possible. But I guess as you're both saying, it comes to a point where it's not a good business decision for them to continue to do that, and that's when they need to take some steps.
And I know you can add to this, Frank. Excuse me. But, you know, in the mortgage business, the servicers and the investors, in the last 5-6 years, I think they've gotten more, I'm going to say a little bit more lenient in working with consumers and allowing consumers to be delinquent. You know, I'll be honest, I've seen somebody even up to like 2 years past due on their house. Now, again, there's a lot of things that factor into this. But I think in that world, in the mortgage world, they're allowed basically getting a little bit more lenient in working with consumers.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Again, looking for any questions that you might have this morning about bankruptcy, our phone number is 1-877-MPB-RING. You can call us at 877-672-7464. Send an email to money@mpbonline.org. We're going to take a break in just a minute, but before we go to the break, Chris, what about the idea of maybe a second mortgage, a home equity line of credit? Do you think that those are viable options when you're maybe trying to achieve some debt consolidation, trying to shape up your budget?
You know, in the lender world, that's an option to the consumer. They just got to sit down and say, does this make sense? You know, the reality, though, is they're putting their house, you know, in a second lien position. It is debt. Historically, it might be it's a low interest rate. I think the lenders out there are probably in the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years, are they're what I call say loan to values are still real tight. But second mortgage is an option. I think the consumer needs to know I'm taking maybe could be unsecured debt and I'm throwing into secured debt. Now, if they can stay away from that, I would suggest try to do everything you possibly can. Because when things get a little rough, you know, here you go. I'm dealing with my house now. So,
this is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. We're going to take our first break of the hour. When we get back, we'll define bankruptcy and talk about who can file and the different types of bankruptcy. Again, our guest this morning on Money Talks is attorney Frank Coxwell, ready to take your questions about bankruptcy. Also, we're here to handle any personal finance questions that you might have. The number to call, it's 877-MPB-RING. Call us at 877-672-7464. We'll be back with more of the show after this.
Here, now, imperative, not to be avoided, necessary. The goals of our midday news magazine, Here and Now. In a typical week, our show will cover not only all the big news stories, but the stories behind those stories. And as you know, there is nothing typical lately about the news. It's fast, unpredictable, and we're often hearing history being made. I'm Robin Young. Hear it with us. Weekdays at noon, Here and Now, right here on MPB Think Radio.
MPB. This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPB. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.
And welcome back. This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. I'm Kevin Farrell with Chris Burford, Consumer Education Specialist for Credibility, the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Jackson. Nancy Lotter-Janderson is out this week. She'll be back with us next week. This morning, we're visiting with attorney Frank Coxwell of Coxwell & Associates. Frank is our resident expert on bankruptcy, so if you have a question about that this morning, you can give us a call. But again, as I mentioned earlier in the program, anytime you have any sort of personal finance question that you think we might could give you some assistance for, please feel free to give us a call. We'd like to come up with topics that hope you'll find interesting and informative, but it's always your show to ask the questions that you need to help finance your personal finances. 877-MPB-RING is our phone number. It's 877-672-7464. Let's start with the phone lines. Off to the hub city of Hattiesburg, Rodney is on the line. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you all doing?
Good.
I have a couple comments. Maybe you could, and I guess maybe you're going to get around to this, but you can discuss this different types of bankruptcy, especially Chapter 13 reorganization, and also discuss, maybe you might want to mention what happens when you file either liquidation or Chapter 13, what happens with your property, investment property, or the home you're living in, and so forth. I've been in that situation, and I kind of got a good understanding of it, but there may be a lot of other people out there that don't, and what effect it has on your credit. That's all. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Rodney, we are going to, in just a few minutes, talk about the different types of bankruptcies available, the different chapters. So if you would stay tuned, we'll get to that in just a few minutes. We had someone who called in and said that they had declared bankruptcy 10 years ago and was asking chances of getting another mortgage if he sells his home. Chris, again, sort of in a credit reference, how long does something like the bankruptcy stay on a credit report?
Well, usually, you know, it's going to show up. It's going to show up on your credit report. Honestly, it's as a negative item. You're looking at 10 years. But again, to get back into a mortgage loan, and again, I'm not a mortgage lender or the guy, but I'm hearing the guidelines now. It might be after about you've been out of bankruptcy after about 3 or 4 years or a range like that. You know, come back and look at your credit score, look at financials, and just see if you qualify. But I've heard 3 or 4 years after bankruptcy, you've got maybe an option of maybe getting back into a mortgage. They just need to go by and check with a mortgage lender and start asking a lot of questions.
This is MPB's Think Radio. You're listening to Money Talks this morning. We're talking about bankruptcy with our guest, Frank Coxwell. We're going to talk about the different types of bankruptcy in just a minute. But first, Frank, give us just a basic definition. How would you define bankruptcy for the average person?
It's a very positive experience for most people. You know, they're relieved of overwhelming burden of debt. And it's, you know, these people are not criminals. They're not irresponsible. They're not just trying to beat creditors out of money. It's a program set up by the government. The government didn't want you to do it. We wouldn't have laws to allow you to do it. But creditors get a tax write-off for everything that's discharged in bankruptcy, so they don't lose any money. And that's something you don't ever hear about, is they do get a tax write-off. And the government doesn't want you to go live in a hole in the ground. They want you to continue to pay your taxes. And if you can get rid of all this debt, you get to continue to pay your taxes and you're not homeless. And it's a win-win for everybody from the government's point of view.
You know, I never thought about that, but you're right. You know, that when you get in a dire financial situation, you probably think it's the end of the world. And for a lot of people, I think bankruptcy in a negative connotation. And as we've talked, it's certainly not the first alternative, but it is one that's viable and it's there for us to use and can be helpful in certain circumstances.
And let me add that, Kevin. I know in our world, and I know even in Frank's world, I mean, consumers, you know, they don't come in and say, well, I planned all this. You know, I wanted all this to happen. I remember what was 2 or 3 years ago. I remember Kevin, somebody, a lady called in and said she had, it was for children, had $800,000 in collections debt. Well, you know, we know honestly probably what happened out of all that. But, you know, it financial stress is really, a burden on a family. And how do they work through it, communicate? I'll be honest with you, if it's married couples, well, nobody planned on, you know, the husband actually going on disability. And the next thing you know, here we go with some medical debt and different things. Like, that's just an example. And I had a situation like that come in to see me. Nobody planned on that. So it's financial stress. And again, like I said, if somebody can get to a bankruptcy attorney like Frank and it all look at it and say, what happened, how it all happened, but the reality of how do I get the relief where I can move on with my life? I mean, yeah, it is a positive experience.
And the biggest problem I have is no one wants to come and see me. Everybody I see, I tell them, you should have been here a year ago. But people do whatever they can to keep going and keep trying. They drain their retirement. They spend their savings, spend their kids' college money. And of course, the government doesn't want you to do that. But they do all that, and I'm the last resort. And really, I should have been the first one to see, just to learn what the benefits of bankruptcy are and what can I keep and what can I not keep, and before you start doing your financial planning.
So as we talked, I guess the most people, Frank, from your experience, it is some sort of bump in the road and maybe the loss of the job, the unforeseen medical bills. So it's usually that thing that kind of jumps up and grabs you, I guess.
Right. And even a cut in hours for several weeks or a month puts you far behind and you've got catch up. And sometimes you can't ever catch up because we all live so close to the edge now. There's just no extra money. You can go through your savings in a matter of a month or two, you know, if you don't have the same income coming in every day.
And I know I'm going to ask this question, Frank. It might be hard to kind of pin down, but your average debt level you kind of see with somebody come in and say, look, I'm overwhelmed. I've got so much debt. You know, we're not looking at $2,000 and $3,000. I mean, we're looking at people anywhere between $10,000, $15,000, $20,000,
$25,000, $30,000, $40,000. Yeah, and I'm seeing people coming in that are making over $100,000 coming in to see me now. That never would have darkened my door, you know, 5 years ago. But the economy is just starting to, I would say it's trickling down, but it's more like it's trickling up to these people. And, you know, they seem to make a lot of money, but yet, of course, they've got bills that have expanded out that they could handle at one point, but now things have happened and they can't handle them anymore.
So, again, from your experience, Frank, what's the tipping point? If someone is going through some financial troubles, what are some ideas, some maybe things that they could look out for that says, hey, maybe this is the way we need to go?
Well, of course, payday loans is a huge, vicious circle that you get caught in. You can never get out of one of those. And a lot of people would consider that a last resort. But there are a lot of people that think, well, this is a great short-time solution. But once you get in one of those loans, you can't get back out of them. Because if you're $300 short and you go get one of those loans, when you go have to pay them back in 2 weeks or so, you're still $300 short. Well, this time you're $400 short.
Mm-hmm.
And starting to borrow money to pay your normal living expenses or thinking about tapping your 401k, you know, you're stealing from your future doing that. And, of course, the government doesn't want you to do that. But those are sort of warning signals that if you're having to do those kind of things, you got to stop and take a really hard look at things.
So when we talk about who can file for bankruptcy, are there eligibility qualifications that you have to go through? We mentioned briefly the idea of the financial literacy course that you have to take. What are some other, if there are any, eligibility requirements?
Well, generally, anybody can file bankruptcy. It's, you know, it's in our Constitution, and it's, the laws are available for everyone. There is a means test that the lawyer has to put you through to see if you qualify for a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13. But most people in Mississippi don't have any trouble qualifying for those tests because we just don't make enough money down here for it to make a big difference.
So if you choose to go to the bankruptcy route, are there some documents, financial records that you would need to have? I mean, always it's a good idea for everybody to keep track of those. But in this specific circumstance, what do you need to bring, say, to your office?
Well, as a minimum, the past 2 years' tax returns, pay stubs for the past 6 months, and then all your debts. Now, a lot of people, you know, owe taxes, and they think, well, I owe the money, so I'm not going to file the return. Well, in this country, you go to jail for not filing the paper. You don't go to jail for not paying the money. And the government wants you to file the paper. You can't file bankruptcy unless you have all your tax returns filed, because if you owe them money, they want to know about it. And we can wipe out taxes in bankruptcy. That's something people think that you can't do. They need to be over 3 years old. But if you haven't filed the paper return, then the time doesn't start running on that.
So what about, we mentioned that there are two types of debt, secured and unsecured. Any difference between the two when it comes to bankruptcy issues?
Well, secured debt, of course, is debt that has something put up for collateral, like your house or car, furniture note. And unsecured debt is just debt you owe, like credit cards, medical bills, signature loans. And they're treated different in bankruptcy. In either a 7 or a 13, we can wipe out most of the unsecured debt. And then the secured debt, the car and house, things you want to keep, of course, you have to pay for.
You know, and let's just clarify that, Frank. I know a lot of people, if I file bankruptcy, I'm going to lose my house. And again, they don't know what they can qualify for. But, you know, they come into you and say, well, I got to get all this debt off. It's secured and unsecured, but I want to keep my house. You know, in looking at this, basically what you're saying is, let's even say they're behind on their house. And they said, well, I want to file Chapter 7 because I just need to get all this debt off my back. I mean, take us through that a little bit there, Frank.
Well, in either type of bankruptcy, you can keep whatever secured debt you want to keep. And it's really your decision. The court assumes you know what you can handle and what you can pay for. We want to get rid of the unsecured debt in order for people to hold on to their house and their car. So it's your decision about what you want to keep and hang on to. And in most cases, the unsecured debt's just wiped out and discharged. And then you continue to pay for the house and the car and the things and furniture notes and the stuff that you want to hold on to. And there again, that's your decision about what you want to keep.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. We're talking about bankruptcy this morning. If you have a question or a personal finance question that you'd like answered, give us a call at 1-877-MPB-RING. Our phone number is 877-672-7464. Our email address is money@mpbonline.org. We do have a couple of emails here to share. The first one says, "Hi, I'd like to remain anonymous, please. That's not a problem. We can certainly do that." It says, "I declared Chapter 13 bankruptcy last summer. My understanding is that I cannot receive credit under this since it is a repayment program. However, my car is getting older and is in need of many repairs. Is there a possibility that I could qualify for a car loan to buy a newer car? I'm not looking for a BMW, just something newer and more reliable. Before declaring Chapter 13 bankruptcy, I tried to reorganize my debt and was able to use my car, which was then paid off, to secure a low-interest bank loan to try to get a loan with lower interest rates and to begin paying off the highest-interest credit cards. Therefore, the bankruptcy includes my car to repay this bank loan. Money is currently taken from each paycheck under the terms of this form of bankruptcy, so I would still be paying this without interruption if I were able to secure some kind of car loan." So, Frank, the paying off the thing in bankruptcy here, can someone attempt to get a better car?
Sure. You have to have permission from the court to incur new debts in the 13 because they don't want something to interfere with your payments. But you can go ahead and arrange a loan with a car dealer or someone that's going to finance it for you. And then it takes about 30 days to get the permission from the court because you have to notify everybody else that's in the bankruptcy. But it's commonly done. Usually when a car is wrecked or destroyed in some way, then we ask the court for permission to get a new car. And in those cases, the insurance pays off the old car, so you don't still have that debt. But in his case, he could trade this car in and maybe have the dealer work out the payment and pay off the old car and get a newer car. But it can be done.
Yeah, and historically, probably, Frank, the rate on that loan was probably going to be very high. I guess whatever the max, I guess they can, whether new or used car, by state law. So, again, if the consumer said, you know, a lot of people, well, I wouldn't do that or do that. Well, you know, in reality of it is if they said, look, my car's tearing up, it's in the bankruptcy, you know, it might have value of $4,000 and I'm guessing, Frank, that I still owe $1,000 on it some way. You know, get permission, I go trade, and you know, I'm back into another car. But the rate's probably going to be the max. And again, I'm going to probably say I'm not going to say there are a boatload of lenders out there to probably do it, but there's some out there that say, I'm willing to take the risk.
Well, you know, car dealers can work magic on paper for you when you go in to see them. They can pretty much finance anything. And a lot of the big dealerships will do it, you know, as long as they know they have to have permission from the court. And as long as they have that, they'll do it. But if they're not selling cars to somebody, they're not making money.
All right. Now, let me ask you this, Frank. That debt, that new car example, that won't fall back under the bankruptcy in the payment plan, will it? Or will it be outside the payment plan?
Usually you'd pay it outside.
Okay.
And then the idea there, I guess, from the court's point of view, is if someone needs a car to work and you want to continue them to work so that they continue to pay what they need to, I think that's why they would be willing to do something in that case.
Exactly.
This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Time for another break. When we get back, we'll continue our discussion on bankruptcy. We've got some phone calls and some emails to share. If you'd like to join the conversation with your question or comment, the number is 1-877-MPB-RING. You can call us at 1-877-672-7464. We'll be back with more of the show after this.
business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media. Weeknights at 6 on MPB Think Radio.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio.
Welcome back to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Kevin Farrell here with Chris Burford and our guest this morning, attorney Frank Coxwell of Coxwell Associates. Frank is helping us learn more about bankruptcy, better understand the process of bankruptcy this morning. We're looking for your questions at 1-877-MPB-RING. Call us at 1-877-672-7464 or send an email to money@mpbonline.org. We do have some callers on the line. We'll get to those in just a few minutes. But Frank did want to go over the various forms of bankruptcy. First, and I don't know if you can answer this, why is it called chapter this and chapter that? Is that like referring back to a law?
Yeah, it's the chapter in the United States Bankruptcy Code that contains that particular type of bankruptcy.
All right. And so if you could, let's go a quick rundown. What is Chapter 7 bankruptcy?
That's a complete liquidation. The court goes in and wipes out all the debts that you want to get rid of. You get to keep whatever you want to keep, your house, a car, and continue to pay for it. The amounts don't change on that. Or you can walk away from the house or a car. It's just up to you what you want to get rid of and what you want to continue to keep and pay for.
All right. What about Chapter 12?
That's for family farmers. And you have to have a farm with a certain amount of gross income and debt to qualify for that.
All right. Chapter 11?
That's a business bankruptcy, mainly for corporations or people that can't qualify for Chapter 13 because they have an excessive amount of debt.
And then the final one is Chapter 13.
And that's what most people consider the reorganization, where you're going to be in a plan for 3 to 5 years. You're going to pay your debts off over a longer period of time so we can get the payments down lower and allow you to keep whatever you want to keep, your car. And certainly that's the only one that'll save the house for you. If you're behind on your house, then you need to be in a Chapter 13 and start back paying the regular payments plus a little extra each month to catch up the back payments.
You know, Frank, let me, you know, I've heard this, and I think, you know, somebody said, well, if I file 13, but, you know, I've got a car that, you know, I owe $18,000 on, and it's only worth $8,000, you know, so I'm basically underwater. I can't remember what it was.
That's a term.
It's, what happens there if somebody comes to you and you're seeing something like that?
Well, that's one of the advantages of the Chapter 13 is that we do what's called a cram down. You cram the car down to the value of the car. So if you owe 18, it's only worth 8. 8 is all you'd have to pay in the bankruptcy. And that 8 would be stretched out over the 3 to 5 year period, which lowers the notes even more. Now, you can only do that once you've had the car for 910 days, which is 2.5 years. So if you just bought the car last week, that's not going to happen. You know, but if you've had the car for a little while, then you only have to pay the value of the car, and the difference is wiped out in the bankruptcy.
Do you see when somebody's in a Chapter 13 and they've got a payment plan, it still comes back to being disciplined, and they've got to have a little budget, Kevin, and to make sure I do pay this, and if I don't pay it, what happens?
Well, the court's going to take it out of your paycheck. They get their money first, okay. So you're going to end up living on what's left, and of course we want to structure the debts to save the house and save the car and get rid of the unsecured debt so you have enough money to live on. But in most cases, if you're employed, they're going to take it out of your paycheck, so they get it first, and you know the important stuff's taken care of, and you whatever's left is what you're going to have to live on.
And then I imagine part of the services you offer a client would be to help them figure out which bankruptcy chapter works best for them and work out that plan to get really through the whole process.
Right. Everybody's asked me, what would you do? And I say, look, I'm not the one having to pay for this, but here's how they work and here's your options. And I give clients the information they need to determine what suits them the best.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Got some calls lined up and ready to go. We'll start in Brandon. Willie has called in. Go ahead, Willie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is in regards to if you own rental property and you decide to file bankruptcy, and part of that bankruptcy may be student loans as well as those properties, what would that be filed under, or what would be the best process to go through?
It would just depend on your situation and the student loans and the rental property. Now, if you owe money on the rental property and there's no equity in it, then nobody cares about it, and you can keep it or you can walk away from it. The student loans in a Chapter 13, you can pay them or not pay them. They're not going to go away, but you don't have to pay the student loans while you're in a Chapter 13, or you can pay them a reduced amount. You can pay enough to cover the interest. Or like I said, you can pay them zero. It's your choice in a 13, but they're still going to be waiting on you when you come out of the 3 to 5 year plan.
But you said there's maybe a couple exceptions in there to where somebody said, I can file my student loans in the bankruptcy process. Can you tell us a couple examples or example or two there?
You have to file a lawsuit within the bankruptcy against the student loan company and ask the court to determine whether or not you can still meet your living expenses and having to pay the student loans. Generally, a younger individual under 50 who still has a working life ahead of them is not going to qualify for this. And you have to have made an attempt to pay them. And of course, with federally insured student loans, there's all sorts of income-based repayment plans you can qualify that can help you with those. But the private ones don't have a lot of these, and they're adjustable interest rates, and they're really predatory in most cases. But I just lost my train of thought, what you were asking me about. The student loans, you don't have to pay them in the Chapter 13 if you don't want to, but they're still going to be there waiting on you. And, the hardship. But the judge would determine whether or not you would still be able to meet your minimum living expenses if you have to pay the student loan. But now, if you're on disability for 3 years, they automatically forgive the student loans. And that's something that helps people out a lot. They don't realize that because, you can't pay them just getting Social Security money.
You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. Our guest this morning, attorney Frank Coxwell of Coxwell & Associates. Frank is helping us better understand bankruptcy this morning. Our next caller is Tina, calling in from Union County today. Go ahead, Tina.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would just like to talk a little about the bankruptcy. My daughter, she was laid off of work for a long time, and she was working on these temp jobs and all that, and she couldn't find a full-time job. And she had a new car, and she had a home, and was keeping up. She had good credit and was keeping up payments until she got laid off. And someone had said to her about filing bankruptcy. So she said that if I filed bankruptcy, that would affect my credit, and I would never be able to have good credit anymore. So she was so worried and concerned about that she just went on for 2 years like that, and she did have a good bank account and a savings. So she said, well, instead of me filing bankruptcy, I'll just go ahead and make these payments with some money that she had in her savings. Well, that was a choice that she made to do that. So she done that about 2 years, and then she ran out of money. Well, when she ran out of money, she still lost everything, her car and her home, because she was no longer able to make those payments. But yet and still, she didn't want to file bankruptcy. But then after she done all of that, she still lost her credit. So now she don't have credit. She couldn't get anything. Now, she even tried after doing all that. Now, did she make the right choice for not filing bankruptcy? That was my question.
Well, if you look at the end result, it probably wasn't the right choice for her. I have instruction sheets I give to my clients after they do a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and if they follow my instructions and work on clearing up their credit and pay the stuff that they're holding on time, they can have their credit back in the 700s within a year. It's just not like it used to be because people loaning money, if the banks aren't loaning money and the car dealers aren't selling cars and they say we're not going to sell them to people that filed bankruptcy, they're not going to be in business anymore.
Frank, a lot of people, I hear that, well, I filed Chapter 7, what's the period of time, 90, 120 days, for discharge. And all of a sudden, 4 or 5 months after that, I'm getting all these letters about borrowing money, and they go, why'd I get all that?
Or credit card applications.
Yeah, credit cards, yeah.
The credit card companies, their world is upside down from our world. When in their world, if you pay your bill off every month, they consider you a deadbeat because they don't make any money off of you. If you pay minimum payments over years and years, they consider you a preferred customer. And that's not the way it should be, but that's how they make money. And every client that goes through a Chapter 7 and wipes out credit cards, these credit card companies flood the mailbox with new credit card applications because they can't stand the thought of you being out there not paying 26% interest because that's how they make money.
And then my question is, you know, if somebody said, well, I filed a Chapter 7, what's the time frame? Is it to file Chapter 7 again? I'm just playing, you know, so.
8 years. Yeah. It's 8 years between each Chapter 7.
Let's head back to the phone lines. We've got someone who'd prefer not to give their name. So an anonymous caller. Go ahead, please.
I would like to know what kind of programs are available for folks who go through bankruptcy to help them learn how to get back on track, to budget their money. And then I wanted to know, is this sometimes a stipulation of the bankruptcy process?
I know I can answer from the standpoint of some programs. I mean, there are resources out there. I know we're credibility. We're a nonprofit, and there are other nonprofits out there that are good nonprofits that talk about budgeting and credit and how do I go to a counselor? I know banks out there are trying to, they're getting out and doing some financial education classes. So whether online or in your local community or maybe calling a local housing agency, you can get access to maybe some counseling. You don't have to do it face-to-face. You can do it online if you want to or do it over the phone. Again, there's a lot out there. It just kind of depends on what kind of, what's a good fit for you to get plugged into.
Frank, are there usually any kind of requirement attached to a bankruptcy that says you do have to go through credit counseling or any kind of programs like that?
Well, the law requires you do a course prior to filing the bankruptcy, which is an hour debt counseling course. Mm-hmm. And then there's one after you file the bankruptcy, which is a two-hour personal financial management course that you have. And I have to have a certificate to file with the court or the bankruptcy doesn't count if you don't take those courses.
All right, we're going to go take our final break. When we get back, we'll continue to answer your questions about bankruptcy. And also, you know, we mentioned the various chapters of bankruptcy. I'd like for Frank to take the two that deal with personal bankruptcy and we can compare and contrast. So, again, I think what I'm getting when we're talking this morning is the more people know about bankruptcy and the procedures and what's available, I think that will help them decide whether that's the right course for them. This is Money Talks, and we'll take a break and be back after this.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. MPBOnline.org. MPB Think Radio. You're listening to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. To call the show, dial 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. Or email money@mpbonline.org. You're listening to MPB Think Radio, Mississippi Public Broadcasting.
Welcome back to Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. I'm Kevin Farrell here with Chris Burford, Consumer Education Specialist for Credibility, the Consumer Credit Counseling Service of Jackson. And our guest this morning is Attorney Frank Coxwell of Coxwell & Associates. Frank is helping us better understand the bankruptcy process this morning. If you have a question that you'd need answered, give us a call at 1-877-MPB-RING, 877-672-7464, or send an email to money@mpbonline.org. All right, Frank, so if I remember correctly, the two chapters, I guess, that deal with personal bankruptcy would be Chapter 7 and Chapter 13. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So give us a compare and contrast. How are they similar? How are they different?
Well, the Chapter 7 lasts about 4 to 5 months from start to finish, and the court wipes out whatever debt you want to get rid of. You come through the bankruptcy keeping whatever property you want to keep and continue to pay for, house, car, furniture note, whatever, and then all the other types of debt are gone. The Chapter 13, the reorganization lasts from 3 to 5 years, and you would restructure the debts and stretch them out over a longer period of time or at a reduced amount so that you still can hold on to your cars and other property in that way. And the court takes money out of your paycheck, and they're going to pay those debts for you during that bankruptcy. Now, Chapter 13 is the only thing that would save a house from foreclosure, because you're setting up a new repayment plan to start back paying the regular house notes, and you're paying a little extra each month to catch up the back notes. In this Chapter 7, you need to be current on the house in order for it to pass through the bankruptcy, and you just continue to pay your house notes like you were before. So the 7 is for people that have a lot of unsecured debt that they say, I can handle everything else if I just get rid of the credit cards and the medical bills and these other unsecured debts.
All right, very good. Is there an amount of time, I mean, is there a limit to the number of times in a lifetime that a person can file for bankruptcy?
No, Chapter 7 can only be done once every 8 years. Now, Chapter 13 can be done as often as you want, but generally it's a 3 to 5 year repayment plan, so that sort of limits the number of times you can file it, because you're in the payment plan for 3 to 5 years each time. Now, that payment plan is strictly voluntary, and you can get out of it at any point, but you're right back where you were, and sometimes even worse off than you were before you filed the Chapter 13 if you bail out in the middle of it.
Right, because it's set up to get you through at the very end. So if you kind of, as you say, bail out in the middle, you're probably going to be in worse situation than you were if you started, which is another reason why, again, you know, you really do need to think about this before you go into it. It is a viable alternative, but you really need to know what you're getting into before you jump into it. Back to the phone lines we go. Off to Corinth. Rick has called in. Go ahead, Rick.
Yes, I've been in bankruptcy for a year, Chapter 13. I just want to know, how do I get my credit score up so I can take some steps to try to get a foreclosed or a HUD house or FHA?
Well, you can't do anything while you're in the bankruptcy to get your credit back up.
I mean, have to wait it's over?
You need to wait when it's over. And okay. There's a lot of different ways to buy a house other than going through a conventional mortgage. I mean, you've got we've got so many empty houses out there, and somebody's paying a note on them, and somebody's willing to do a lease purchase or a wraparound or – there's just all sorts of ways to buy a house. And of course, it's just like with cars, the more money you put down, the less people care about your credit.
Yeah. But I would advise, I think you'd agree with Frank, that if you're in a 13, it might be that you say, look, let me get through this 13 first. Let me run my numbers. Let me run a good budget. Let me get through this 13 first. I like to say, so I can kind of put that to bed. There's nothing wrong with having a goal to buy a house, but I don't, maybe trying to jump into a lot of different things. I think getting that monthly debt off is coming out, like you said, they're taking out your paycheck.
Right.
I think just let me get through this first. If it's another 2 years, let me hold ground, do the best I can. And if I can get that off my back, maybe 6 months right before I get paid out of it, I can start really doing some good planning.
And despite what the realtors and the government tell you, owning a house is not the best thing for everybody at every stage of their life.
This is Money Talks on MPB Think Radio. We're looking for your questions on bankruptcy this morning for our guest, Attorney Frank Coxwell. The number is 1-877-MPB-RING. It's 1-877-672-7464. Let's go back to the phone lines, this time off to Ridgeland. Gabriel is on the line. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
We're coming up close to the end of the program. I'll ask a real quick question.
Okay.
My wife and I are living in the home that we want to purchase, and we're currently leasing it. Our lease it's about $1,200 a month, and the loan that we qualify for would take our mortgage down to about $750 a month, so obviously very significant savings. Our credit's good enough to buy the house, but we need about a $4,000 down payment, and that's just sort of tough, you know, with where we're at financially. What's the best route to go, is it even possible to borrow the money? Because obviously, we could borrow $4,000. I mean, just the savings alone from our monthly house payment would be right, far more than what would be required to pay off that very small loan. Is there a bank or a credit union that would,
you know what,
loan that should be given to this couple?
Yeah, my suggestion is I would go to a mortgage lender, talk to them and say, look, here's where we are. Maybe you've got a lease purchase, and if it's a lease purchase or just a lease, the owner of the property's got to be willing to sell it to you, and try to get an idea about maybe what price. Sit down and talk to that mortgage lender and let them give you some guidance. There might be some you might be a first time home buyer. There might be some down payment assistance out there, and that's a really couple good programs. Yeah, it might be you can borrow the money from from a branch bank and set up monthly pays, and they might count that into your debt-to-income ratio. But talk to your mortgage lender first. Tell them your situation, and I think they'll give you some really good guidance.
In most cases, with a lease purchase, you should be getting the owner of the house to give you credit for some of your lease payments, and that might go towards reducing the $4,000 if he says, oh, well, you know, they've already paid me X amount of dollars as a down payment towards the house, and that would go towards your $4,000 down payment.
All right, Gabriel, thanks for that call. We're just about out of time. Got a couple of minutes left. Frank did want to ask about, in the case of spouses, can one spouse file for bankruptcy without the other one knowing?
Yes. Well, not without them knowing, but we have one spouse that files all. We do that all the time, and it doesn't affect the other one unless you're co-signed on debts. Now, when you're co-signed on a house or a car and you're going to keep it, then it doesn't make that any difference in the bankruptcy in most cases. But if you both owe credit cards and you're co-signed on the credit cards, you both owe the credit cards, regardless of who's listed first or second. And if one spouse wipes out all the cards, the family still owes all the money because the other spouse still owes the debt.
And so also then in the case of a divorce and inheriting an ex's debts, again, that would depend on whether the original debt was, say, either a joint account or an individual account, I guess.
Right. You don't inherit someone else's debt, and you're not responsible for people's debt unless you signed on the contract saying you agree to pay that debt when you incur the debt.
All right. So we've got about a minute left. Frank, if you could maybe summarize some things. When do you think a bankruptcy should be an option? Who do you think is best benefits from going in and maybe visiting an attorney like yourself to discuss the options of bankruptcy?
Well, despite the social stigmas we have against bankruptcy right now, bankruptcy is just a financial tool. It's a business decision. Companies don't hesitate to file bankruptcy. And it's just math. You got more going out than you have coming in. And it's neither good nor bad. It is what it is.
So what you're saying is going back to these large corporations in the car business, they file bankruptcy and to reorganize, right?
Absolutely.
And so, again, things do happen. I think the big thing about it, you said, you know, job loss, major medical divorces, that's what you're seeing coming through your office.
Absolutely. And death of a spouse, you know, you're just getting by on two incomes, and now one of them is not there anymore, and it's a huge burden.
All right, so Chris, final question here. If you are involved with bankruptcy and you want some major decisions, buying a house, buying a car, those sorts of things, what would you say was a realistic time frame for in terms of credit to rebuild that credit to think about those kind of major purchases?
Again, if somebody's still in a Chapter 13 bankruptcy, I believe let's work through the bankruptcy first. Let's get that cash flow going and take care of that business. And then maybe a few months before coming out that you start looking at and planning, setting some goals. Out of bankruptcy, you said, I want to reestablish credit. Frank, as he said, you know, maybe it could be a year and a half to kind of build that credit score back up. Again, don't be, I guess, just be antsy about, well, I got to go buy a house the day out of bankruptcy and do all these things. I think, you know, it comes back to budgeting and cash flow.
So patience, I think, is the key both in bankruptcy and then when you get out of bankruptcy. Be patient and rebuild your credit slowly, and I think that would be the best course of action. Money Talks is a production of MPB Think Radio, funded by various contributions from you, our listeners. If you'd like to hear today's show or previous show, you can go to mpbonline.org/moneytalks. And don't forget about our MPB Public Radio app. You can download that for your iPhone or Android device and then listen to MPB Think Radio whenever you'd like. Our show is produced by Sharita Brennan, and our call screener is Jonas Adams. So for Chris Burford and Frank Coxwell, I'm Kevin Farrell, asking you to tune in at 9 o'clock tomorrow to join Dr. Rick DeShazo for Southern Remedy, and hope you'll be with us next Tuesday at 9 for another Money Talks right here and only on MPB Think Radio.